Inside Security Podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joseph's there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
It's episode 176 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. Money changes everything. Hey, everybody, this is Martin Fisher, your host tonight. Got several of my best friends in the world out there on the internets with me to talk to you tonight about getting budget for your information security fantastic ideas. So joining me all the way from his place in God's country, Andy Willingham. Andy, how are you, my friend?
Did I go back to Georgia?
That's what I was going to say.
I will pay money for that. I have told you this before.
Dude, I am having a serious case of the Mondays today.
Well, you know.
So a trip to Georgia would be wonderful.
The trundle bed's always available for you and yours, my friend. So also with me, and you heard her voice from her secure, undisclosed location inside the perimeter, the ever-lovely Yvette Johnson. Yvette, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Except I'm not enjoying this cold snap that we're getting. Are you kidding me?
Well, by definition, I mean, if we're talking to folks elsewhere, this is not cold.
It's 50-something degrees, and that's cold to me.
Yeah. So also with us from the greater Indianapolis area, Steve Reagan, our obligatory news Yankee. Steve, how are things?
Apparently, I live in the wrong spot. Y'all talking about God's country and it's cold and it's 50 degrees. I'm here, but I'm confused.
Look, one time a year, you have the largest sporting event in the world. Right? And after that, it's Indianapolis, dude.
It's all downhill from there.
Now, admittedly, I'm hoping to be there for a race weekend, but you never know. So, guys, this week we are going to be talking about the idea of budget. I mean, it's getting toward that time of year for those of us who run on the federal fiscal year to start thinking about, you know, how do we want to improve our programs for next year? Or maybe we're just simply justifying the things we already do. And there's an amazing coincidence. I'm giving a talk tomorrow to a small group of folks here in Atlanta on the ABCs of getting your InfoSec program funded. So just kind of wanted to talk through that with y'all and then also talk, you know, I'm really interested in Andy and Yvette's perspectives from where they've been in the industry as to how they see it working, especially sort of the hurdles that we have to overcome as we work in different organizations with different cultures. But in essence, what it boils down to, I think, guys, is that the challenge for CISOs, at least, and I'm really interested, I know, Yvette, you've got some really strong feelings on this, is that CISOs are the problem because we don't sometimes realize that we're not technology providers, we're business solution or business service providers, and we don't know how to sell and market that to our customers, who are the various business stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. CISOs don't treat themselves as that they have a client, which is the business. They believe that, you know, they're all one big happy family. And like you said, they don't know how to market or sell the security organization to ultimately get what they need or want.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that when you start seeing sales and marketing to CISOs, and a lot of CISOs came up on the technical side where they believe that if the solution is technically correct, that's all the rationale you need to do it, right?
I feel like we've gotten past the tools, right? Once upon a time, it was, I need this tool. And I mean, tools are great. We've talked about tools a lot, but now it's really about, you know, people and process.
I think that's exactly right. Because I mean, if you look back to not too long ago, the CISO's job was to walk up to the CEO, the CEO of the CFO, and say, hey, we need some DLP or we need some IAM. Give me $1, $2, $3, $4 million and I will go make that happen. And back in the day, they would usually get the money. And now it's more about, we have a problem to solve. We also, and this still goes on way, way too much, is we have CISOs who love to play the FUD card. You know, and they love, I think a lot of them go to RSA simply to learn new ways to say absolutely nothing that sound really scary. And, you know, I know, Steve, you and I talked that you encountered some really fun new descriptions of threat intelligence adversary actors.
What was it? Advanced next generation APT.
Yeah. That's just awesome.
Yeah. Say that slower. Advanced next generation APT. That was nice. That was what I heard.
And if you're a CISO and you're using words like this with your stakeholder and not immediately laughing about it afterwards, I think you should just go home, look at yourself in the mirror, and reevaluate your career choices. All right. Just maybe that's too candid, but you're not going to succeed that way. The secret, I think, to success, and this goes back to an old movie called Glengarry Glen Ross. The secret is always be closing. Remember, you're selling. You are selling your program. You're selling the services of your group. And to me, there are three critical aspects of doing this. One is you're going to have an opportunity from time to time to engage stakeholders. It could be the CEO, the COO, the CFO, the president of a division for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. It's that classic elevator pitch. When you have those chances for an interaction, you need to sell your program. And you need to practice this. It needs to come out very natural. It needs to be just a normal part of the way you talk. You need to talk about the great things you're doing and the fact that you want to do more of it. And make sure that they understand your successes. Don't be talking about stuff that doesn't really matter, because it doesn't matter. And that's not how you get a relationship with people. And most importantly, it's not how you get budget approved.
I also think you need to have like various elevator pitches depending on who happens to be in that elevator for you. I mean, I have a bunch set aside for anytime I have 30 seconds with a CISO, with a director, with security operations. My pitch is different for each one, right? Because they care about different things.
Exactly. And what you talk to them about has to be something they care about.
Yep.
I think one of the keys to what she just said, too, is when so many times we think about selling, the CISO or the CFO or maybe even the board, depending upon where you're at and all of that. But we don't think about the fact that a lot of times we do have to sell to the SOC manager. We have to sell to other teams or other lines of business within the organization. We may not be asking them for funding, but we need to get them on board with us so that when we do go to whoever we have to make the big pitch to, we can, have them, at our back saying, yeah, this is what we think that we need. This is the solution that we want. We've already bought into the fact that this is what we need. And if you can get, three or four other lines of business or directors for those lines or whatever backing you, you're going to be much more successful at actually getting the funding than if you just go up and say, well, this is what I think you need. And then the board says, well, what does the SOC think about this? I don't know yet.
Absolutely. I mean, think of it this way. Let's say that you're the operations manager and you come to the CISO and you have this great idea to do instrumentation and stuff for the SIM and orchestration because those advanced, persistent, next generation, actors are out there. And, you're sitting in staff and you bring that up and you've got your charts and your slides and all that. Any CISO worth their salt, she's going to turn to the infrastructure manager and go, what do you think? And if you haven't socialized this and gotten some buy-in from the infrastructure manager, who has already got way too many projects they're working on, and why in the world, when they've just been hit in the back of the head, should they support you? Yeah, that proposal is not going to go very far. And it
just creates another shadow IT organization.
Right. And instead of building a relationship, you just damaged one. And it takes a while to come back from that. The other third thing that I really wanted to make sure we talked about was the fact that you need to understand what the technology your stakeholders are hearing about. And Steve, this is you especially are seeing this. A lot of the stories that would have been exclusively, you know, like in the CSO online or at a Krebs or, you know, on one of the very specific outlets for the security vertical are now showing up in places like Forbes and Business Week and the Wall Street Journal. The stuff that our stakeholders read. And yeah. if you're not familiar with what's showing up in the Wall Street Journal about security,
you're lacking severely.
Oh my gosh, it's horrible.
Security has gone from a small niche segment of IT to a water cooler discussion. It touches every aspect of a company now, so much so that my entire vertical, like what I write for, has changed in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's been steady for the last decade or so, but the last 3 or 4 years in particular. But why is that? And that's because when you look at what's being covered by the mainstream media, it's stuff that we've had to deal with for years, but was relatively unknown to the upper echelons of your company. You know, you and I talk about data breaches, Martin, and we'll talk about, you know, SQL injections or the best practice for data protection and how to manage a database. You talk to a CFO about that, they don't have a clue. But ask them about Ashley Madison, and they will tell you everything you've ever wanted to know about it. And yet, that is the exact. True. I mean, that is the exact situation. So it's all in how you approach them. And honestly, my advice, you know, as a reporter, pay attention to the other wires. Don't just read trade news and industry news. Look at Forbes. Look at the Wall Street Journal. Read the USA Today. See what type of incidents are being discussed, and look at how security applies to them. Because while they may not be talking about a phishing attack or a data breach, what they are going to talk about is the fact that somebody impersonated the CEO via email and exposed W-2 information. Now, all four of us on this call knows that's a phishing attack. But that's not what they call it when you read about it in USA Today.
Right.
That's not how they describe it. You have to understand how to make those connections and to draw those lines for people. And when you can do that, you could talk your way into anything.
So I guess with that, we've covered all the points, and we can call this episode done early, right?
No, actually, I want the three of you. I want the three of you to talk about some common roadblocks. What are some of the you know, you get your pitch down, you've got it a tight 30-second elevator pitch, you've got all your high points, you've got all your notes, you've got all your documentation, you make the sale, and you're told no. When you hear no, what's the reason, and how do you get past that?
Well, let's talk about the sales cycle, because that's what I think this gets to. I mean, so one of the things that you need to understand about the sales process is that it's a process. If you know, again, go back to Glinder and Glenn Ross. It's, you know, attention, interest, decision, action. You know, attention is something bad happened. In my world, in healthcare infosec, Anthem happened, right? And it got a lot of people's attention. So then there's interest, you know, hey, how do we prevent this from happening to us? How well are we protected? You know, a decision, you know, what should we do? And then there's the action, you know, achievement unlocked, you either validated the investments you've already made, or you're getting the go ahead to make additional investments. When you talk about getting attention, in Andy and Steve, since I think episode 0, we have talked about this. Cautionary tales are wonderful, but FUD is the devil.
Yep. That is true.
I think the most torqued I've ever seen Andy be consistently is when vendors or our peers end up using FUD to try to make a point.
That actually makes him angrier than Apple. It really truly does. the very first time, and I think that recording got lost.
You're poking the bear.
The very first time we talked about this, he was like in a rage. He went on for a good 10 minutes about it.
Yep.
It was an amazing spiel. It really was.
Yeah, I've got that audio saved. I'm going to play at his retirement party.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, FUD makes for great stories sitting around after work with, you know, your buddies. But when it comes to actually trying to get your project or your program or whatever it may be, when it comes to actually getting buy-in, FUD will come back and bite you in the butt. It might work once, it might work twice, it might work a third time. But what's going to happen is, you know, it just like you tell your kids, you know, if you tell a lie, you're going to have to remember that lie in order to back it up and to, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you use FUD, something is going to happen at some point down the road when the fact that you fudged, you know, the story a little bit to make it more exciting, to get that buy-in. And then somebody's going to pick up a copy of USA Today where they're actually going into depth onto that piece of FUD that you, and they're breaking it down. And then they're going to come back to you, or it's going to be that, you know, the solution that you purchased, you know, comes out to not be able to do what you thought it was, or, you know, what you sold it was going to do based upon that FUD. I mean, there's a whole myriad of different things that ways this could come back to bite you. And then you're going to end up, you know, sitting on the street corner, shaking your head going, what happened? Exactly. You know, where am I going to go now?
So, you know, net, don't use FUD. Now, The one thing I think, there are two things I think people forget about sometimes is ways of getting positive attention are using audit, especially external audit findings, because, you know, audit non-conformances or audit observations or negative findings are a business risk. And businesses, especially publicly traded companies, really care about that.
Yep.
And the other is evolving compliance standards. You know, PCI DSS is getting updated. HIPAA is going through a series of people, you know, reinterpreting the rule. Virtually every compliance regime goes through these regular periods of being redefined and re-evolved. And
and I just want to say, like, you know, in my world, PCI carries a big stick.
It does.
And regardless of you hate it or not, it gets you what you need because you have to do it.
Exactly. Now, the other thing is, you know, once you get their attention, something happened, the thing is getting interest. And interest is all built on relationships. Now, when you're the CISO and you just get hired, your relationships are generally built on expertise power. They think that you're the smart guy in the room. But if you're like me, over time, they figure out that you're not. And you actually need to have real working personal relationships with people. You need to have business friends out there that you can have a relationship with and work through and collaborate and get things done. I could spend days and days and days talking about this, but what I'm going to recommend is if that's something, and there's going to be a lot of you out there, this is a challenge. There are a lot of really introverted people in InfoSec who genuinely find it very, very difficult to establish and maintain a number of relationships. I totally get that. If you go to the Manager Tools podcast, www.manager-tools.com, they have a bunch of podcasts which are very directive and applicable on how to do that. I highly, highly recommend them.
I mean, for me, this is my key for me is relationships because I'm in security consulting. Right. So everything I do is built on my relationships with my current clients, with future clients, with previous clients. That's how I, you know, that's my day to day. And I often say, you know, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but my relationships are what build on hopefully me looking like I'm the smartest person in the room.
As long as you know the smartest person, you are the smartest person.
Right. That's part of my relationships.
So eventually it gets down to a decision being made, and decision-making strategies can vary widely from organization to organization. Some organizations, you know, you have to socialize and gain consensus, and there's various formal and informal and sometimes secret processes you have to go through to get a decision. And there's no right or wrong way. It just, it is. But having those effective relationships with the key decision makers is really the key to having someone help shepherd you, especially if it's your first time carrying water for a project. Those relationships are going to help you get there. And the one thing you have to remember, y'all, is that sometimes the decision will be no. And you have to realize there's no crying in InfoSec. Mm-hmm. All right? Just there is that. Yeah, that I'm reminding you, no crying. She made me cry one time. It was really sad.
You know, it's funny you say that. We actually have a girl that works for us that has made interviewees cry.
Wow.
I haven't done that yet. I think my time is coming, though. So the last thing is we need to talk about action. So in my PowerPoint, there's a picture of a 155 millimeter howitzer. Being fired by cannoneers from the 2nd Infantry Division in South Korea. And it is an amazing gun. Millions of dollars of computers that talk to GPS, to various meteorological sensors, fire control radars. It can put a 155 millimeter shell into a 10-foot by 10-foot square at 25 kilometers. And all that technology is absolutely amazing. And it costs millions of dollars. But the key to the whole thing is nothing works. It does not go boom until a soldier pulls a 10-foot piece of nylon cord to make a manual hammer strike a .30-06 blank to set off the propellant charge. So you can have all this great stuff. You can have all the practice, load the gun, set the gun, have all the best threat intelligence in the world about the meteorology. And until someone pulls the lanyard, nothing happens. So if you're an InfoSec leader, if there's just one thing you remember from this podcast, please, please, please pull the dang lanyard. Make something happen. Nothing succeeds. Nothing works until you take action. And since a lot of security groups don't take action, if you start doing that, you are by definition, you know, in the top one third, which makes you successful, and nothing makes you more successful like having previous success. So finally, I'm not the world's biggest Peter Drucker fan. His books can be very hard to read sometimes, but he has a quote that I love. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. So if you get a transcript of this podcast, and you can do that by typing really, really fast as we talk. If you follow all these steps exactly and it doesn't work, it's because the steps have to fit your culture. So you have to adapt what we're saying into the culture you're working in. Some of the stuff we may say may not work for you, and you have to adapt it. That's okay. The general thrust is there. Now, Steve, to get back to the question you asked before we started down this little road is the roadblocks. I think the roadblocks fall into those top three categories around getting, you know, interest or getting attention, right? Getting people to realize things are happening. And for me, a lot of that is, again, back to relationships. You know, I can drop by, for example, the CFO's office and say, hey, you know, did you hear about this, that, or the other? Or, hey, there was an article in the journal. Did you read that? When it comes to getting interest, it can get to, hey, I know, you know, again, let's say you're talking to the chief operating officer. Hey, I've got this idea that we could speed up our time to resolve security incidents and reduce the impact on production. That's speaking COO language, right? You're going to get their attention. You're going to get their interest. And then being able to speak in such a way that you're not just talking about building a security kingdom, but you're talking about building the business and providing the business solutions. That's to me always been the key roadblock. Now, the one roadblock some people talk about, and I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do for you. If you're in a company that simply does not have the money to invest, I don't know what to tell you other than to be really, really creative. And the more creative you are, probably the more successful you'll be. But somewhere it's written you can't get blood from a stone. Andy, what about you? You I know you've seen stuff in the past.
Yeah, and actually, just a quick comment on what you were saying about, you know, if you're in a place that doesn't have the money, you know, that's where it goes back to, you know, when you go into a pitch, you know, you really do, you need to have an A, a B, and a C potentially. You know, you've got, you know, the hit it out of the park solution. You've got, you know, a single, and then you've got a walk. You know, just what's the bare minimum that you're going to have, you know, to be able to squeeze by. That way, if A and B get shot down, then you've got C, you know, that hopefully you can get through to help, you know, move you forward just a little bit. Because even the guy that gets walked is going to score from time to time. You know, and so if you can get something, you know, it's better than nothing.
Especially if you take that something and actually deliver with it.
Yeah.
Because that's how you gain the trust of the people with the money, is they give you a little bit and you deliver a lot. They're going to be willing to give you more based on a track record of delivering on time, on budget. You can't underestimate how important that is.
Yeah.
So, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I think another thing that's key to getting by on the cheap, you know, like that, is looking at, you know, what do you currently have that's not being utilized, you know, fully, or that is, you know, that's got, you know, something else that you can do with it. You know, maybe you can implement it in another part of the network or, you know, whatever it may be that can buy you something else. I know that's not about getting budget, but that's free.
Well, I think that's going to be a topic, I think, of a future podcast where we talk about, you know, operational excellence and really maximizing the investments you've already made. And that's something that's been bouncing around, and I know in my and Joseph's head for a little while. Well, guys, we have consumed all of the minutes that are available. So if you're wanting to look at the show notes, you'll be able to find those on southernfriedsecurity.com. Make sure I get the right URL. It's southernfriedsecurity.com/176.
You had to remind yourself of the URL.
Yeah, dude.
It's been a long day for him, guys. Come on, cut him some slack.
It's been a long day, and you know, I've been speaking executive all day. So you can follow the podcast Twitter feed at SFS Podcast. I am at Armor Guy. The Missing Sparkles, and we do miss him, is at Jay Sicoli. There's at Andy Willingham, at Steve D3, and the ever lovely at Jet Set Yvette.
So, what up?
Baller!
So on behalf of everyone here at the podcast, we wish you a great evening, and we'll talk to you all in a couple weeks.
Not everybody.
I just want to say real quick, if anybody actually does do a transcript, can you send it to us? We'd like to see it.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, y'all.